he get both feet in right here at the end, Jim?
What are they going to roll it? He caught it. Touchdown. He did what? He did what?
He runs to the 50. He runs to the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
Steps up.
Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first.
Says a prayer.
Stop it!
Oh, please!
What a catch!
That's insane! It's insane!
The game's final play is a Wilson lob to the end zone, which is fought for by Tate with Jennings simultaneous. Who has it? Who do they give it to?
Talked about the NFL not having an incredible points, barrage so far this year. So last week, teams averaged 18.4 points per game in week six. That was the lowest since week 15 in 2014, where they averaged 18.2 points. I think we have offensive explosion this week. I think that we have the highest scoring week so far in the NFL in week seven.
I'm going to go to the Chargers Chiefs game. Our shout out to our boy at work, Scott. He thinks the Chargers are going to have this upset. I'm not sure if I'm ready to proclaim that, but after seeing the offensive struggles that got going on, I think they're going to have Austin Eckler ready to roll against one of these tough, really good offenses or defenses. Excuse me. I think Austin Eckler is going to have 125 total yards and a touchdown against this really.
Josh Kelly stole that.
Welcome to Simultaneous Catch, folks. I'm Adam Jeffrey Rossi.
I'm Josh Lapping.
Ooh. They you may or may mash. Not. They did the monster mash. I'm going to play that at the end of the episode. I only get like, how long of a clip are you allowed to play before it starts to become a problem?
I think it's like 10.
Yeah, so I'll play that as the last 10 seconds of the episode. That'll be the outro. Halloween episode. Very excited.
I was really looking, because you had these numbers in the breakdown. I was like, I don't know what's happening.
No, I forgot that. So what I normally do is send you the blank breakdown, and then I go back and enter stuff for myself. And I forgot that I had done that.
But I got real excited. So, I was like, numbers, I think you did it.
Yeah, no, mine's wrong.
That's a really fun one, though. I really like that.
It only goes back to week five because I was going to count backwards, and week five was higher than this week, so I didn't even keep going back further.
That's a really good deep dive, though. I like
that. Yeah, I don't know. I also think that it probably would have been smarter to pick a week without so many teams on bye like last week.
That is probably accurate. Yeah.
But I
appreciate it.
Did not get it right. It was higher scoring than the week before.
So,
but it was not
crushed that
the highest scoring week. So, and you said so Eckler had the yardage, but not the touchdown.
No, if Eckler, which was the exciting part we watched with our buddy Ian, and when Kelly broke that run, he was like Austin Eckler, and I was like, if he had done that,
he would have gotten.
I think it would have been close.
That was an interesting game. It was
really exciting. The second half cooled down. A little bit.
It was one of the higher scoring, I think, in the first half in quite some time. I think they were, I forget what the number was flashing, but it's been a while. So, welcome into Simultaneous Catch, folks. This is our Halloween themed episode. If you just joined us the first time this year, this is pretty often our most listened to episode because we're silly. I was going to say stupid, but I don't mean.
Yikes.
Because I created some really silly segments, and we've got a little bit of a different take on them this year. Well, the first one will be the same, but the second one we're going to do a little bit differently this year. So it'll be fun for those of you who normally listen to, and those who don't, welcome in. It's a lot of fun. And I'll put some fun little spooky season effects in
spooky
later.
Spooky season.
Because the next episode we'll record will be on Halloween, which would be fun for us to do that, but we want you guys to be able to listen while you're all in your spooky season vibes before we all put our Christmas tree up next Wednesday. So let's just get right into some rant, rave, recall. I would like you to go first because I have a recall and I'm gonna be a little sad about it. So
on the Halloween episode,
yeah, go first.
All right. Well, I'm going to rave And this isn't going to be a major rave, but it's somebody that we haven't talked about. We haven't done a crush in it a long time. This could have been a crush in it, but I'm going to do a rave because we have a lot of fun things planned for the episode and whatnot. I'm going to rave about wide receiver of the Seattle Seahawks, Jake Bobo. This is a guy, and he hasn't done a whole lot. He has 8 catches, only 112 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the season. But he was a 24-year-old undrafted wide receiver when he came out. He's now 25, so he's in the game late, right? He's not coming out at 20, 21, 22. But he's 6'4". He wasn't even invited to the combine. He ran a pretty slow time at his pro day at UCLA, a 4.99. Just for reference, the slowest run or 40 time at the combine was 4.69. That was the slowest out of all receivers, so significantly slower than the slowest, if you will, wide receiver at the combine. But I just want to give praise to this guy because this is the kind of player that I love to see, right? The kind that isn't given the whole lot of shot, but just puts in the work, grinds, puts in the work in the offseason, has a really good preseason, and then when he has the opportunity, when DK's not there, or, you know, if JSN isn't there, or, you know, if Tyler Lockett misses time this year, he is a guy that will just consistently play really, really hard for you. So I want to give him a shout-out. He had an amazing touchdown, a great toe tap in the end zone this week against Arizona. This just is a player that we haven't talked about at all this year. That, you know, I think deserves a shout out. So I wanted to rave about him.
Yeah, Seattle continues to show, like, they just find so many good just players overall. Like, I was gonna say wide receivers, and they have found these sort of unheralded wide receivers here or there, right? Like, when was the last time Seattle drafted a first round receiver outside of this year, right? It probably was quite some time, because DK was a second round pick,
yeah. And
Doug Baldwin was undrafted receiver, big time from him. Tyler Lockett was a later round pick, right? So he might have been a second or a third round pick, but still, he wasn't a first round pick. So yeah, I was gonna say receiver, but then they've got all these defensive players that they've found in the last couple of years, and they're one of the best defensive teams in the NFL so far this year. So it's very interesting how they just always seem to find really good players no matter where they get them from. So yeah,
that's which good. Is just interesting, because I feel like for so long, or for a good chunk of time, we were talking about how Seattle would come out of these drafts. We're like, oh, you reach for that player. This is awful. But they're just consistently good.
I think that's why I like it so much, because, and again, like, the people who say that are still going to be like, yeah, well, you could have still gotten those players later. And it's, one, that's not always a guarantee, right?
Right.
And two, like, you evaluate your guys, and you take them where you take them, right? Like, if you are good at evaluation, which Seattle has proven to be pretty good at evaluation, you'd stick to your board and you stick to your guns, and you get guys like Jake Bobo.
Great name. Bobo.
All right, so I have recall. I am recalling my AFC Super Bowl team. We talked a little bit about this the other day, you and I. So what I want to say is this, is that, as a fan, do I still believe that my team could get better and get there? Of course I do, right? Of course I'm going to root for that. I haven't completely given up on this team, and I have some stats that I'll go into, and then we can use it as a, you know, quick conversation about this if you'd like. But as somebody who we're on this podcast, and while we do it for fun, we also like to sound smart and be right. And so if I were to put money on it, no, I wouldn't pick the Bills to be the AFC representative in the Super Bowl this year. So I'm recalling Buffalo as the AFC representative in the Super Bowl this year. And I don't have a ton to go on, like, raving about the team that I'm going to pick, because I'm going to say it's the Ravens right now.
Okay.
Because I said it last year, and this year is the year that they're doing all the things that I said I thought last year. So I would go back and just listen to that preview episode from last year, because I talked a lot about Lamar coming in his own, being a better pocket passer, and them spreading the ball around. And this year they just got so many better receivers, right? And Zay Flowers is great. He was my favorite rookie wide receiver in the draft. So yeah, I love what I'm seeing from them. And obviously, like, and we'll talk about this a little bit as we go on, but this is the year of the IT team getting knocked off the following week, right? It's happened so many weeks in a row, right? Like, Miami put up 70 and got killed by Buffalo. Buffalo killed them, and then they lost the next week, right? Like, it just, every week it seems to happen. Detroit 2 weeks ago was everybody's darling in the media. Look, I think they're the best team in the NFL, and then they get crushed by the Ravens. So the Ravens probably lose next week because of that trend. But if I had to pick somebody, I would pick them. Now, I haven't given up on Buffalo because I think that this is an eerily similar slump to ones we've had for the last 3 or 4 years under Josh Allen and Sean McDermott. Because in 2021, the Bills lost to the Patriots by 4 in a game that they probably should have won. And then they went on and played Tampa Bay on a short week, which they're doing again this year, and figured some stuff out. Now, they didn't end up winning that game because Tom Brady hit Breshad Perriman for a touchdown in overtime, and we lost. But then we went on a 6-7 game win streak, jump-starting our playoff run, right? So we've been in a similar scenario to this before. We were 7-6 and had a 3-5 stretch, right? And then we went 5-3 after 9-6 loss to the 2-win Jags, or went to 5-3 after the loss to the 5-3 Jags, and that was the year that was considered the year we were supposed to win the Super Bowl, right? So we've had stretches like this before where we've struggled. We need to figure things out. Now, injuries are a big concern with this, but I will also say, during that stretch as well, we were without Tre'Davious and Milano. And Milano did end up coming back at the end of the year, which is still up in the air. But Tre'Davious didn't, so it's not impossible. So again, I can't in good conscience be like, they're going to go. I'm going to be right about this. I'm going to be rooting for it. Haven't fully given up yet, but I think it'd be silly for me to say it's going to happen. So that's my change right there. It's my recall.
Yeah, I think it is a fine recall. I am absolutely not in the boat that Buffalo is just an awful team, that they're going to only win 3 more games for the rest of the year or whatever. I don't think anybody is saying that, but if they are, I think that's incorrect. I think when it comes playoff time, which I think Buffalo is absolutely going to be right there and absolutely going to be in contention to make the playoffs, I don't think they'll be the number one seed. So I said to you last night, the concern with me is, can Buffalo go win 4 consecutive games against the best teams in the NFL? That I'm not sure about. So that's why I think it's a
right.
It's a great, great recall. Yeah, my philosophy about Buffalo right now, and I said it to you on Sunday, which I know is a doom and gloom day. My philosophy on Buffalo right now, because I think that it's not as good a team as what we saw 2 years ago when that happened. I think if you want to use the word maturity or the reeling in of Josh Allen, where he's not being the wild cowboy out there running around and making the crossbody throws or buying all the 15 seconds in the pocket, I think that is technically a good thing, right? But right now, with how Buffalo is constructed, with how the team is put together and the pieces around him, you need Josh Allen to be the cowboy, to be the superhero, to go and run around and do those things and let their wide receivers find the open windows and then have Allen make the diving pass that we know he can make. When we're limiting him to not do that fairly regularly, and by that I mean once or twice a drive, because we have seen numerous Buffalo games where he does it once or twice a drive, it's just that the team is not constructed in a way, in my opinion, to consistently win. Because I think Diggs is great, but how many times have we seen Diggs just find the window when Allen does that? And outside of that, I mean, we think they're good pieces, but I don't think they're great pieces.
Yeah, I think that the issue, and again, it's multifaceted. It's never one thing. But to me, the issue is that, to look at it from a different perspective, is the reason that you need Allen to be that, what you just said, is because we don't have the defense for him to be what he's being right now, which is playing it safer, right? He could be doing what he's doing right now, and we'd be winning all these games if our defense was better, right? But right now, the Bills have played 209 snaps on defense this year without Tre'Davious, Milano, and Daquan. And on those snaps, they're allowing 24th in yards per play, 30th in opposing quarterback rating, 29th in defensive success rate, and last in the league in third down percentage rate. So, like, we're struggling without our best defensive players. And so when you have that, you can't play this, okay, let's just, you know, take it easy and not... I'm not saying like you have to be like uber aggressive to the point of fault, but you're right. Like you can't be reining things in and playing it safe and you know, running the ball every second and four. I think there was a stat that every time we had second and four, it was a James Cook run right up the middle. And James Cook's been great this year, by the way.
I love James Cook.
Really great. But like, you've got to be, I agree, you got to attack a little bit more.
See, I'll challenge a little bit more, and then we can move on to all the good stuff. I'll challenge that. Yes, I do agree that you don't have the defense to let it be conservative right now, but this is just unlike anything I've seen from Buffalo outside of maybe Josh Allen's rookie year. I mean, like, how many times have we seen Josh Allen throw to the right to a wide receiver in the flat and for 2 yards, and either you're relying on that wide receiver to break a tackle, which sometimes they do, but if they don't, it's a gain of two, and then maybe a run, and if they don't break that run, you're looking at third and six, and then you put so much pressure on Josh Allen, and teams are doing a fairly good job of collapsing the pocket, and if you're like, don't do the scramble thing, don't get out, and then we've seen, and we saw it against New England, he can float a ball over a wide receiver because he just has so much pressure in his face. So when you're putting yourselves in the conservative of making it third and longs, it's just, it's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, and the other issue that's underlying all this is that we don't have time to figure it out because we play Thursday, and then we've got just like the gauntlet to end all gauntlets in November that we've been forecasting on the show and talking about privately. There's just so many real tough games coming up, starting with Cincinnati after, of course, the game with the Bucks on Thursday night. So we'll cover that a little bit later. But again, Baltimore is now my AFC Super Bowl pick, and I hope that I reverse jinxed it.
I think that's a fun pick. They definitely had, speaking of Baltimore, they had their absolute best game of the year. It was all the pieces finally clicked. Lamar used his legs in the most appropriate ways. He used it to create create passing plays, not just running plays. I really love that. Now, I will say, I shouted it out 16 times watching that game. There was a lot of holding that was not called against Baltimore. So if they start to get behind the chains, will that success continue or will that bog down? I mean, obviously penalties will bog down. You see great teams be able to overcome those things, right? Or play beyond those mistakes. Well, I have to see that because they had the perfect storm against the Lions when they have some adversity, and that has been Baltimore's issue. When they have adversity or have something not go, that's when the game slips away. That's what I need to see. But I absolutely, absolutely love what Baltimore did against the Lions, and I think that's a great Super Bowl pick there.
Yeah, but again, watch. They're going to lose next week. I think they play the Cardinals, so we'll see what happens.
Might be Josh Dobbs fighting for a job.
Yeah. Let's get to the first of our fun segments. We're going to go to the Slasher segment. Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to do the music?
I don't know what I was doing. I was just trying to get interactive.
For those of you who've never heard a Halloween episode before, the Slasher segment is teams that just aren't good enough to us, right? Like, and there, I will say, I have a team above 500 on one of my
three.
Those
are the best ones.
So I do have a bold one that I will end with, right? And two other ones that are, I think, kind of obvious. But neither of us are going to pick the Panthers, right?
No.
Okay.
I don't have the Panthers on my list.
But yeah, so we try to be a little bit fun with it, and then we've got our fun little Mike Myers theme. So do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll start off first. I have three teams on the list. I could have a fourth if we need to, but the first, I think, is one that's personally sad to me. It is a team that could flip it around, but I'm going with the LA Chargers here. Yeah.
You're slashed.
Yeah, everyone that knows or listens to this show know I love Herbert. I love Keenan Allen. He's one of my favorite wide receivers in the league. I love a lot of their defensive pieces, but I just don't think that they have it together enough. It comes back to coaching. I've talked about it numerous times. I just don't like what they do as an organization. Again, we watched the Chiefs game, and to lose to the Chiefs, I mean, that's not, you know, no one's like, you lost to the Chiefs. What's going, like, of course, like, the Chiefs are one of the upper echelon teams, if not the upper echelon team in the NFL. So it's not an indictment, to lose to the Chiefs. But when you see the Chiefs in third and 15 and the, again, the defenders are so far back that you let Patrick Mahomes, who we have said is one of the most clutch scramblers in the league, but to like let him pretty easily pick up that third and 15 with his legs. I mean, come on. Like, what's going on? They're just not well coached, in my opinion. They haven't. Quentin Johnson finally got a target, so at least they're like trying to incorporate their first round pick, but they're not using him to their full effectiveness, in my opinion. It's just a team that I don't think, for despite all their talent, will be there.
I thought about the Chargers a lot, and then I was like, I wonder how much overlap we'll have, and I was like, the Chargers are a team Josh will probably say, so I didn't do it. But yeah, it's tough because you're right, they do have a lot of players that we both love. And I did, you know, I made the joke, I've said it on the show and I've said it to you when we watch it. I mean, I root for them every week now because I feel bad for people getting on them, especially Brandon Staley, because it's hard to say I don't think he's a bad coach when he's one of the problems right now, probably. But I don't think Brandon Staley's a bad coach. I think that there's some things he needs to work out, so.
Yeah. Who'd you slash, my man?
All right, so my first slash, my first two are pretty obvious that everybody's going to go like, oh, yeah. But my first slash is, and again, I'm going to say this now and watch me be totally wrong at the end of the season. But I said it to start the year, and I'm sticking with it. So I'm slashing the New Orleans Saints. Cut. You think they're probably going to censor that, but, you know. So 3-4. They're still within one game of the division, obviously. Some more divisional matchups to go. But it's just uninspiring. And, like, I don't want to say it's worse than I thought it would be, because I actually do. I feel weird being like, I told you so, because I don't like to do that. But I'm not also saying it to you, right? I'm saying that, like, Derek Carr has been this for quite some time now, and he just keeps doing it, right? He can't do anything but throw it to Alvin Kamara. He had, like, what, 12 catches in the last game Alvin Kamara did, right? And so it's – and we talked a lot about, you know, it might be Pete Carmichael who's just not calling a game, because he's also not calling a game. I mean, I was texting you during their last game where I was like, can we do something different than screen to, or dump off to Kamara, run right up the middle on first and second down every single series? And it's just all they did the whole game. And then, you know, can we get downfield targets for Chris Olave, right? Some of them are, like, wildly overthrowing him, and Carr's, like, yelling at Olave instead of, like, it's just...
That was bad.
It's getting bad, right? And so this is a defense that should be good enough to keep them in games for their quarterback to eventually win them at the end. And I say this all in a game where he hits his tight end, Foster Moreau, in the back corner of the end zone. If he catches that, they either go into overtime with a chance to win, or they go for two, right? So it could be a bit of moot point if that happens. But still, I don't believe in this team. I think that when push comes to shove in the end, I think that they're a team that gets the slash at the end of the movie.
Okay. Yeah, this isn't a debate segment, so okay.
Well, so, I mean, it's not a debate segment, but we can have a conversation. What I'm saying is...
Yeah, I'll push back on this one.
Because I know that you recalled last week about, like, what you thought that they were, but it wasn't like they're a bad team, which I'm also not really saying. I'm just saying they're unreliable.
Sure. I will say, and this could be completely wrong, we'll have to see what happens in this week, right? The last two drives, which is obviously a very small capsule, were the most inspired, most fluid offense I've seen out of the Saints this year. The last two drives against Jacksonville last Thursday night. That was the best I think the offense has looked all year. And I pulled you into my office the other day. When you look at the Saints the last 3 years, so even this is going back to Sean Payton, right? The last 3 years, the numbers of all three quarterbacks, Jameis, Andy Dalton, and Derek Carr, are all very similar. Now, Jameis actually had a very small sample size that year because that was when he got hurt. So he had better touchdowns, but technically 9 of like his 14 were in 2 games. So I think there's a little bit of an outlier there when you have performances like that. What's the consistency here? Because it's 3 different quarterbacks. What's the consistency? It's the coaching. And I know we're talking about Sean Payton was there for the 1 year, which is actually the best statistical. But then there was the Sean Payton protege of Carmichael. And I just don't I don't get when you – and I get that you were talking about, oh, Dennis Allen shouldn't have been the coach there, and, like, they want the continuity there. But where in the world was it that just because Pete was here under Sean, he's clearly, like, really just as good? I think that that's so wrong. The Saints have lost two games by seven or less points. So if they just get that extra touchdown or whatnot, we could be looking at this in a completely different way. I did recall and say they're not going to easily run away with the division, but it's not a team I'm ready to give up on yet.
That's fair. That's fair. I respect it. I have given up on them, so.
You never started on them.
Why don't you hit us with your second one?
Yeah, so I'm going to go with a team that started out pretty hot, has stuck in games for the most part, but I'm ready to slash the Washington Commanders.
Oh. Sorry, Scott.
Sorry, Scott. Yeah, this is a team that for most intents and purposes I really like. I like a lot of their pieces. I really like Sam Howell. I'm a believer in Sam Howell. I don't think that he is solely the issue. I think he has a lot of maturation to go through and to continue to get better, to see the field and know a quick release and know where your guys at so you can get it out. But right now this is a team that's getting ready to go into, of course, where halfway through the season, so it could all flip, right? But if you continue on the pace that you're on, you're going to give up historic sack numbers. You just can't do that. I think the defense is still really good. We've often talked about their defenses and the pass rushers. I'll be really interested to see if one gets sold. I don't think they're quite bad enough yet to be like, you know what, we're going to get rid of, move on from our pieces. But right now, I think this time next year, Ron Rivera is not the coach. I don't know who is. I don't know if it's Eric Bieniemy. I don't know if they're going to bring somebody else in. But right now, yeah. You've talked about it on the show. Riverboat Ron is not being very riverboat at all, and they're just far away from being a contender in my opinion.
I think Riverboat Ron was Riverboat Ron for 1 year when Cam won the MVP because it was on the goal line. He was always like, "I have Cam, let's go for it." That's it. That's like it in his history. So it's tough. Yeah, I still think that they'll be a fringe contender too. But this is another team I looked at, but I was like, ah, maybe they'll figure it out. But you're probably right. Let's go to my next one, another obvious one. So let's just go to the Raiders suck and I hate them. It's weird because I wouldn't have done this had they won last week, right? Because then I'm like, you know what? They've got some easier games upcoming and they could go on a win streak, right? But I just...
Who even knows what an easy game is for Las Vegas right now?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a great point, is we don't really even know remotely what should be considered. Oh, that's the game that they win, right? But Josh Jacobs is not playing well, whether that's scheme or him, who knows, right? Davante Adams wants out of there. I mean, he tried to sort of, you know, do verbal gymnastics to say a different way of, you know, saying, you know, I want out. But I just think that... It's not a team that you trust, right? It's not a team that I think when the rubber hits the road and the AFC that's going to be a dogfight for the seventh seed, they're not a team I think gets it.
All right, all right. I agree. I think we should just get rid of the visor Josh McDaniels and get somebody else in there. Who it's going to be, I don't know. We'll talk about that down the road, I'm sure. You know, they play on Monday night against the Lions, and you were talking about hypothetical friend's fortune. If they get blown out or just really bad on primetime stage, you know, those talks have to be being had right now. So we will certainly see about that.
All right, what's your third and last team to be slashed?
All right, I'm going to go a little M. Night Shyamalan here, a little twist, because you stabbed me in the back by picking on my team, the Saints. I'm going to pick on yours. Now, this is a team with a winning record that I think is fine, but when it comes down to it, they'll get slashed, and that is the Atlanta Falcons.
I should have refused to play the music for you for that, but I did because you're my friend. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is a team that is just so darn exciting. I get why you love them. They have so many great offensive pieces in Kyle Pitts, in Bijan Robinson when he doesn't have an upset tummy, in Drake London, a great, great high point catcher and can get a lot after the run. All three of those can, which is really, really exciting. And then they have a bowling ball and Tyler Allgeier. Their defense has been completely 180 from last year and they have been pretty ferocious. But he has gotten better. I'll absolutely give him credit for that. The game-winning drive, although I think a lot of it was Kyle Pitts more than Desmond Ridder, but he has come on where I said I didn't believe him in against almost any quarterback in the NFL. It's not that, but when it comes down to the final weeks of the season, or if they do make it to the playoffs, I think they'll be out pretty quickly, because I think when they meet other quarterbacks, he just won't be able to compete with them. So for that reason, I'll slash it a slash down the road. So we're doing some time travel.
Oh, wow. Okay. I love time travel. I'm a sucker for a time travel story. Time
travel horror movies.
Yeah. I can't think of one right now, but there's got to be, right?
Well,
Happy Death Day. That's a good one.
Totally killer. It's not a time travel movie, but Flatliners. I mean, that's kind of going to a different world, but Butterfly Effect.
Spoiler, I didn't know that.
Well, Flatliners is like an 80s movie, so.
Fear Street doesn't technically do time travel. It's just that they take place at different times.
Those are good movies. Those are fun.
They are fun. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree mostly with everything that you said. I can't give up on them, one, because it's me, but also because I feel like we've seen a couple of flashes here and there of Ritter, like, getting a little bit better and getting a little bit better.
Yeah, so this is not a give up on. I think they will be there. They're going to be tough throughout the year, but when it's time, I think they get slashed then. That was just I'm going to give somebody with a winning record instead of beating up on the low guys.
Fair. All right. Here comes my bold one.
I'm excited.
And I don't know if this will surprise you or not, but the team that I think that when the rubber hits the road, they're just not going to be good enough. Partly because I think their division is arguably the best in the NFL right now, and because I just believe in the other two teams a little bit more, I am slashing the Cleveland Browns.
Let's go. Okay. Man, they have been weird.
Yeah, this team is really hard, right? Because they have one of the best defenses we've seen in quite some time. Right now, obviously, they gave up a lot of points last week, but that could be there's a theory that when teams come off of such intense games like that they have with the Niners, they come back and, you know, it's...
Even so, they gave up so many points, but how many points did their defense get for them?
Right, exactly. So it's a give and a take with defenses, too. But regardless, they're still one of the best defenses we've seen in quite some time. The issue is quarterback. I don't believe in Deshaun, and any time I've seen him on the field, even if it was like, you know, 10 plays last week, it's been bad. He had one game this year where it was like, okay, I guess that's okay, right? And then while I like PJ Walker as a person, and it's fun to be like XFL MVP, like there's a reason why he's not really truly the starter with anybody, right? And while he shows flashes, they lose that game last week because the quarterback can't make a play if it's not for the gifted call, and then they get to hand it off to Kareem Hunt for the game-winning touchdown, right? So I just think that, again, we keep saying rubber hits the road, but I think that when the kids in the cabin are making their mad dash out away from the killer, they're like, there's the car, let's leave. The Cleveland Browns are the ones that stub their toe right before they get to the car, and the slasher's stabbing them, and the shot is like right on them while the rest of them are all screaming and driving away. And that's what's going to happen.
That's really great imagery. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, the Browns have been just so odd. We've talked about them a lot and the drama question marks surrounding Deshaun, and he plays and he throws a pick and then he gets hurt again and now he's day-to-day again and whatnot. So who knows what's going on there. But, man, this is an organization that I just feel like, who knows? Like, they did so much to try to be something and I just don't think it worked out the way they wanted.
Yeah, and there are reports right now that I have been reading online that is questioning whether or not Deshaun Watson wants to play football anymore. And like, can you imagine after all the nonsense he put everybody through and after all the flack that the front office rightfully had to take for the decision they made to give him this guaranteed contract, after all that, he just says, I don't really want to play. Like, wow, I would feel I would feel bad for them, but it's the bet that they made. So it's, you know, take your medicine time if that were to happen.
Sure.
But
it's difficult. I mean, obviously, those are more so rumors than confirmed fact, right? But it's just an interesting philosophical question, right? I mean, we talk about guaranteed contracts. If he's like, I don't want to play anymore, well, you got guaranteed money. So what are you going to do about it?
I think if you retire, you don't just get to get the rest of your contract. I think there's probably a retirement clause in everybody's contracts that nulls.
I don't know. Like they're still. I mean, Brady was on Tampa's pay docket for. I mean, like, I'm sure.
Maybe I'm wrong then. Maybe he got the money and he was like, you know what? I'm leaving.
And who's terrible. To say? I mean, we can't.
Nobody will ever get a guaranteed contract.
We can't be like, he's lazy. But I mean, it's definitely an interesting philosophical question.
Anyway, that was the Slasher segment sponsored by Scream. Great. Scary movie.
Nothing to do with.
I've been using Michael Myers imagery the whole entire thing. We're playing the Halloween theme music and I went to Scream. Both great movies. Anyway. All right. So we decided to do a little bit different. So what we normally do is do unmasking. We play the Scooby-Doo theme and it's really fun where we unmask teams that people think are good, but we don't think are as good. And the problem that we were having was Josh was saying that there are teams that he could say, maybe one, maybe two, but that it's not like, oh, I don't think this team's any good, right? And so it's kind of a fine line. And so what I decided to do is it's still an unmasking of sorts. So I'm still going to do the Scooby-Doo because it's fun. Right. And that darn dog.
That darn
dog. But what we're going to do is we're going to cover players or personnel, because I do have a coach here, that maybe we're not noticing them because there's a mask over them. So we're going to pull the mask off of people and be like, you guys didn't realize that this was so-and-so playing well the whole time?
Oh, you didn't want to do the flashlight save?
Just go with me. Okay, does anybody here play Dead by Daylight? If you play Dead by Daylight, please message us on Instagram.
There was a part of me that was hoping you were going to do that and then like make like the doctor sound effect. Like,
is that pretty good? I don't know.
That was the first one was good.
Dead by Daylight is a great video game, by the way. If you guys don't have now, if you're.
We're still looking for a fourth.
Yeah, if you're into like cooperative games, it's very fun. The graphics have gotten a lot better, but it's not a game you play for the graphics. But if you're playing, like Josh just got a new Xbox, if you play on a nice TV with a new console, it actually looks very nice. But it's a cooperative game where four people are trying to escape and one person's trying to kill you. It's very fun. It's very apropos for the season, but. We are looking for a fourth person, so let us know. Anyway, we're gonna pick players that are a little bit unheralded. We're gonna pull a mask off and be like, Mr. Old Man Jenkins, what? Anyway, go.
All right, who's your first one? The first one that I'm unmasking or shining the flashlight or doing whatever the heck we're doing is Geno Stone, defensive back for the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, excellent.
That's probably just about as much as I'm
probably as much
play,
as we can go. Yeah, so Geno Stone, 5'11", 207 pounds, sometimes the scariest monsters you can have out in the dark, right? Aren't the huge looming ones. Sometimes it's the smaller guys, the small, fast guys that are just darting around. Geno Stone is my guy. He's 24 years old. He was a 7th-round pick in 2020. He was never expected to be a starter, but due to injuries, he has been back there. Right now, he is the leader in interceptions in the league right now with 4. He has 20 tackles. He is flying around. He had 2 really important, I guess, I don't know when you have a total blowout if you say it's important, but 2 big interceptions against Detroit. I really like what this guy is emerging because you know how often we've talked about injuries on that Super Bowl team that you picked. Of being back there, especially in the defensive backfield. So if this guy can continue to be a leader at this young age back there with Kyle Hamilton, then I think the future is bright for those Baltimore Ravens
I think Geno Stone is a 7th-round pick, right? Did you say that?
Yep.
I was checking my music.
He was cut twice by his own team.
Yeah, he's just – it was so funny. Geno Stone is on my – I think my – the Ravens squad that I made, ironically, in one of our last Madden franchises.
Okay.
And I thought he was a computer-generated player, right? He was one of my last picks. I was like, I really like this Stone kid, right? And it turns out he's actually playing really great in the real NFL, so I think that's a really good one. My one is a cornerback, another defensive back. And my first one is a cornerback that I wanted Buffalo to take a couple years ago. Instead, they ended up with Kyer Elam, who is a healthy scratch and struggling to stay on the field. I'm going with Kansas City cornerback Trent McDuffie.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, I tried to channel my old live radio days from Penn State and, like, plan that sort of, like, bat flying noise to like totally cut in right when I finished my sentence. It was a couple seconds off.
I think you're doing great, but man.
Trying it. Anyway, doing great. Trent McDuffie is a part of the Kansas City defense. It's top five in almost every major category this year. They're just dominating, which is horrifying for now that, you know, Mahomes is kind of figuring things out and playing back to his Mahomes level. Probably be MVP yet again because it's Mahomes and everything. But now it's like, okay, can anybody stop them? Which will be the narrative going forward. But Trent McDuffie has 3 forced fumbles this year, 35 tackles. He only had 44 total in the entire year last year. So he's already got 35. 4 quarterback hits, and he only had 1 the whole season last year. So they're using him a lot more. He's disrupting play after play with forced fumbles, tackles, pass breakups, and quarterback hits. I just don't think we're talking about him enough.
Yeah, he definitely is a cornerstone. Sorry, I know we're talking about a cornerback, but a cornerstone defender back there. Absolutely a draft pick that they hit on to help be a young leader in there. They have some fierce corners there in Kansas City in McDuffie and Legere Sneed. You know, this is so far through the first 8 weeks, right? Or 7 weeks, we haven't gone to week 8, but this has been by far the best defense that Mahomes has had this early. I know that they've turned it on in the playoffs at times, but throughout the course of a year, usually we're like, this is a weakness of the Chiefs. Like, this could be the bugaboo, and it's absolutely the other way around right now.
The one thing I'll say before we do our next couple is it's interesting that this is one of the lowest scoring years that we've had in quite some time in the NFL. I mean, I told you the stat was based off of since 2014. I'm wondering if they are very good, but they're not as good as we think they are because the whole league is offensively down in general, which also leads us to like conversation about other defenses not being as good, right? So there's a lot that goes into it, right? There's all kinds of
nuance. There is a lot that goes into it, but they are
very good.
I think it's the other way around. Even I talked about it week one when they lost against the Lions. I haven't seen that defense fly around in that fashion in a long time, in my opinion. I was like, wow, okay, like, this is one of the hottest offenses coming off at the end of the year, and they held them to this. Like, I think that's impressive without Chris Jones, and I think the defense is real legit.
Unfortunately, I agree. Anyway, who's your second one?
My second one, I guess maybe we should have nicknamed this something about cornerbacks. I'm talking about another one. I am talking about DJ Turner II for the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh. That was nice, bud.
Did you watch What's New Scooby-Doo growing up? Because that was like,
I watched it a little bit.
Yeah, it was the Saturday morning cartoons when we were growing up. And that was one of those cartoons that I loved. Because one, that first of all, Simple Plan, shout out. Great opening, but I thought that'd be fun.
Yeah, second round pick of the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a player that, again, wasn't expected to be thrust into the spotlight that he has right now. But he, because of injuries, is out there. And he has allowed only 4 of 16 completions when targeting his area. He has a minus 15.9 expected points over added when they're going in his area. This is a player that even when they get back fully healthy, everybody, I think he needs to be out there. And even if he's not right now, again, I think that the future is bright there. When I talked about the Cincinnati Bengals in the beginning of the year, I talked about their young secondary and how those pieces needed to evolve. And I think that DJ Turner is absolutely a player that they're going to build around later on down the road.
Yeah, Lou Anarumo doing really great things with defenses. He'll be in the head coaching cycle again next year, right? He turns these guys into stars. So, yeah, good one. I have another defensive back, but I'm not going to go there now because I don't want it to be the defensive back segment. I do think it's fun that, you know, defensive players are normally unheralded. So it's like, you know, wow, why is this defense so good? Pull the mask off. The corners are really good, right? But I'm going to go with a coach whose team I unfortunately just slashed, and Kevin Stefanski.
What's up?
There's a la 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 section there that we won't get to, but it's fine. Yeah, I think Kevin Stefanski's doing a great job, and there are a lot of people calling for his job. And I think it's Cleveland fans who don't realize that they have it good, right? It's newer Cleveland fans who don't remember the Romeo Crennel days, right? But Kevin Stefanski. Oh, cut this part.
It's high pitched down, man.
She gets so afraid. Kevin Stefanski is doing a great job with this team, especially with all the issues at quarterback right now and losing linemen and losing your generational talent at running back. He's piecing this all together and made a team that's 4-2 right now. And I think that that's incredibly admirable. Now, I slashed them, so do I think eventually it will run out and catch up to them? I do. But right now, I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he's doing.
Sure, sure, yeah. I mean, him coming over from Minnesota, you know, it really did feel like it was like a changing of the guard. And so, I mean, he helped lead them, even if he wasn't there for that playoff game. He was homesick. They helped get into the playoffs for the first time in quite a long time. And, you know, then all this jazz that we've been talking about occurred. So I think he's definitely a good coach.
I think he's a great coach. Anyway, who's your last
one? I don't know if I'd say great, but that's not what it's about. I'm going to go with somebody that's not a head coach, but is an offensive coordinator that I think maybe not this year will. I think he'll get interviewed for some head coaching jobs, probably won't get it this year, but someone to look out for, and that is Press Taylor, the offensive coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Shining the flashlight. Yeah.
Do you know what that's from?
Halloween Town.
It's the Goosebumps theme.
Oh, very cool.
It's a bop, man.
I'm excited to watch that show.
I am excited to watch that too, but go ahead.
Yeah, Press Taylor, a younger brother of Cincinnati Bengals head coach Zach Taylor. Right now, he's the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville. There are reports out of Jacksonville that Press Taylor deserves a lot more attention and admiration for the things that they're doing in Jacksonville. Obviously, Doug Peterson came in, and Doug Peterson's the head Super Bowl winning head coach, right? So he's getting a lot of the credit, but there's all the reports out of Jacksonville is that Press Taylor is in there and doing a lot of good things with the development that we saw from Trevor Lawrence to take over and the evolution even this year from the offense that did seem the first couple weeks a little bit stagnant, but it's coming on. I think, like I said, maybe not this year. He'll probably get some interviews, might not get hired, might be a little young for that, but definitely look out for this guy in the next handful of years as we get into head coaching cycles.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this new batch of coordinators and coaches that I think are going to get a lot of looks in this next coaching cycle, right? Because we had a lot of the the big names come back in the recent years, like Josh McDaniels got another shot. I don't think he'll get another head coaching shot again. Sean Payton came back, Doug Peterson came back. We've had all these other coaches, and then of course we had the young hot shots like Shane Steichen get the job, right? And Kevin O'Connell a couple years ago. So we've already had some of the young hot shots that were the hot shots for years have jobs right now, right? And then some of the old guard have jobs right now. So there's going to be a new batch of coordinators that show up during this next interview process, and I think that's always very fun. We'll still have guys like Bieniemy interviewing for jobs next year, right? And Aruma, who I just mentioned, who was a hot candidate last year, right? So there will be those guys, but I'm excited for the new. I always get excited when we do the coaching hiring cycle where you hear names of guys that aren't very heralded, right? And so I think it's a great one. My last one, again, is another defensive player, defensive back Daron Bland for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, good pick. Did you ever watch Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, that's a great show. I don't remember much about what it is outside of they're sitting around a campfire telling stories.
Yeah,
but I couldn't tell you what one single one of those stories are. Can you?
I know. I remember a few of them.
What's the scariest one, real quick?
The scariest one was definitely the one about the gnomes, the garden.
What
gnomes.
Happened?
I mean, they're just garden gnomes that come to life.
That does sound horrifying. We should.
That was the best produced one, I think. The movie was good. Silver Sight. The Curse of the Silver Sight. That was the Are You Afraid of the Dark movie.
Interesting.
That was good.
I thought I heard that they were coming back with Are You Afraid of the Dark.
Man, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we'll check that out. Daron Bland this year has 3 interceptions. So you said Geno Stone has 4, leads the league. So he's got 3, 2 of which have been returned for touchdowns. 7 pass breakups, 21 tackles. We talked a lot about Trevon Diggs being out, right? And how much that obviously hurts Dallas. But Daron Bland on this Dallas defense that is loaded with stars and people that get talked about all across media. I don't feel like you ever hear Deron Bland's name. And so I don't need to spend a ton of time on him, but I just think that there, whenever your defense is as good as a team like Dallas's, there's always going to be unheralded players. So pick your poison, and I picked the one who has two touchdowns. So Dallas fans are going to be like, of course we know Deron Bland, right? But the majority of people who listen to our show probably don't know who Deron Bland is. He's a great player for the Dallas Cowboys, a young one too.
Yeah, I'll chime in real fast for a fourth one. I won't talk about him too much, but just because we didn't talk about anybody offensively, I think somebody in the shadows right now, if you're not in Pittsburgh or a diehard fantasy player, it's Jaylen Warren. He finally scored his first touchdown of the year. He has two on his career right now. He is great out of the backfield as a receiver, but he definitely is that explosive piece that Najee Harris isn't right now. Very good still while blocking, pass protection. A little bit less yards on the ground, but a player that I think definitely can have a little bit more light shown on him.
In reality, this segment could have been an hour long of players that we are like, oh man, that guy, he doesn't get enough. And I could have named five Bills players that I love that I don't think get talked about enough, but fun. That's fun. Who's to know what segment we'll do next year and what random ass music that Adam will find, as my cat is literally trying to gnaw my foot off. That really hurt when she bit me just a second ago. I don't know if you noticed my reaction. Anyway, with that being said, man, it's time for...
The Breakdown says cold reads.
Josh picks the
Saints game. Josh has to pick the Saints game.
My Breakdown says Pal's picks.
Yeah, not mine.
Do you have a cold read?
Yeah, but we'll go to Pal's
Cold picks. Case Files reads.
Here we go. We're getting into Pal's picks. Oh, yeah, I'm just saying.
Yeah. I thought we were going to both be creepy with it. It didn't work.
Out of the 8 weeks.
Yeah, I tried to give it to you. I said, Josh picks the Saints.
Yeah, I'm just like, there's legitimate reasons.
He picks the New Orleans Saints.
And be like, I'm getting you. I'm 2-2. I'm picking the Saints. So it's not like I'm like 0-4.
Right.
All right. You crushed it last week, man. You did great in Pal's picks in a week that I feel like a lot of picks were just pretty bad across the board. But you got the three that I gave you correct.
It was a bad week for picks in general because there were so many upsets. But if you look at the pick'em pool, I am at the top, but by like two games because everybody had a bad week last week. There were two games that I picked that I was the only one that picked that team. And the rest of them we all got wrong anyway. So
yeah, but you did great last week in terms of Pal's picks. You went 3-0. You're up to 13-8. I fall back down to 7-14. You got me on those ones. You got to give me the games first this week.
So no surprise here. The first game is those New Orleans Saints, 3-4, heading to the 3-4 Indianapolis Colts. And yes, I gave you the Saints again, but this is also another one that I just don't know where I lean because it's so hard from both perspectives. So who do you got?
Yeah, I think, you know, as we're talking about the Saints, because that's what we got to do this time of the week, I guess. We have to just talk about them. I talked about when we did our slasher, I think we'll have to see if those final two drives have sparked something or if the offense can finally be a little more cohesive. I'm not picking them this week, though. I'm actually going with the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going with the home team. I think the Colts maybe hasn't, in terms of points, they've actually given up a lot of points. But in terms of what they do on defense, I really like what they do. They have had a takeaway every week this year. They have had at least a sack, at least two sacks in every game except for one. They get after the quarterback well. And if we've seen this offense struggle to get going, if they don't turn it around, having that momentum from the final two drives, I think the Colts will get this one at home. Jonathan Taylor's back. He's looking a little more like Jonathan Taylor. So I'm riding with the home team here. I'm going with the Colts.
Yeah, they worked him in a little bit more each week. So that's nice. Next, we go to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who sit atop of their division against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Also the top of their division. I'm going with the Jaguars here. I'm going with the road team. The Steelers, and you know what? Maybe this is the bugaboo more than the Saints. I've picked the Steelers games a lot of times, and every time I think I got them, they do the opposite. I think they totally, you know, I don't want to say we're totally gifted a game last week because the Rams still would have had to have scored on their turnover on downs, but they didn't even get the opportunity to do so. I think it was more so the Rams just completely fell on their face versus the Steelers being like, oh my gosh, like they did it. Like the Rams just collapsed, in my opinion, because they were moving the ball pretty well, and they just decided to stop. The defense has single-handedly won them two games this year in terms of the Steelers. I don't think it happens here. I believe in the Jags more.
Yeah, there's a little bit with this team of that's really doesn't make sense that they just find ways to win. And maybe that's just Tomlin, right? Because he's a great coach and he finds ways to win, right? It's so funny that I'm going to say this, but it's not because it's Halloween, even though it fits Halloween. Bill Simmons on his podcast has this thing where he talks about Michael Myers teams where it's like, I thought you died. Why are you still here? It's the fifth Michael Myers movie. Didn't That's you good. Die in the second one?
That's good.
And the Steelers are kind of like that where it's like, wait a minute, you're 4-2? Yeah. I thought your offense stunk, right? Yeah. So they are kind of that team. It'll be interesting to see. Finally, last but not least, probably the marquee matchup of the weekend, I would say, is the 49ers hosting the Bengals.
Here we go. This is a big one. The Bengals coming off a bye. Now, I'm going to go back to, I believe, week two. You said this year you were going with your mind over your heart, and it's been great for you this year thus far. This game here, though, I'm going with my gut. I'm going with, you know what they say. You jump, I jump, Jack. But instead of Jack, I'm going with Joe. Joe Burrow and the Bengals are going to hand the 49ers their third consecutive loss this week. I think I've been refreshing so much today to try to find out an update on Trent Williams. I get that his replacement didn't play poorly against Minnesota last night, but it's just not the same offense without him out there because I think he's one of the best tackles in the league. Debo's out. He's already been ruled out. They said he's not going to play. I think he is important. Christian is amazing, but I'm going with the Bengals here.
We saw some chinks in the armor for Brock Purdy in the last couple of weeks, so it'll be interesting to see how he responds after his first two losses of his career. Christian McCaffrey, I think, saw something that was like he has 21 touchdowns in 24 games played as a San Francisco 49er. It's just insane. So he's terrifying to play against.
More so than that, I just couldn't believe that, you know, obviously he comes off the injury and we're all like, he might not even play. And then he plays 100% of the offensive snaps.
I want to say this. This is me. I'm going to talk about something that somebody said on Get Up. And the thing they said was slightly idiotic. But Jeff Saturday this morning made the point that they didn't use McCaffrey enough last night.
Hmm.
I was like, he played every snap. He was clearly their best player. He scored twice for
them.
Does
that mean he's supposed to score, like, touch the ball every snap?
He was like, they didn't run the football enough. And that's what Jeff Saturday does all the time. It's like he doesn't watch. It's insane.
He's a center.
Regardless. Awesome. Okay. I want you jump, I jump, Joe, to become your new In Russ I Trust, because you used to say that all the time, and it would work for you, too. And so I want that to become your new thing when you pick the Bengals.
There we go.
But you did go to the Bengals on the road. You went to the Jaguars on the road and the Colts at home. And that was Josh picks the weekly Saints game.
All right, here we go. I'm really excited not to just hear you talk about this game, but just to figure out who's going to win and why they win. The Thursday night game, the Bucks head up to Buffalo.
So judging on how long it takes me to edit this with how terrible I feel right now, because this episode might not be up Tuesday night. It might be Thursday morning. So you might not have a ton of time to listen to this before the game. But I'm picking the Bills, and here's why it's a head and not a heart thing.
Sure.
I think while I still like this Bucks team and think there's a lot of good about them, and I like that Baker's been a lot better than his time, you know, with Carolina and all that, and that his ending time with Cleveland. People are going to say it was a close game last week against a divisional opponent. Really, the Falcons should have won by like three touchdowns because there was a fumble on the 10-yard line. There were two fumbles on the 1-yard line for the Falcons. This Falcons team moved up and down the field against the Buccaneers. And while I think that one could argue that Atlanta's run game is better than Buffalo's, I actually, hot take, don't think it's that much better because James Cook has been awesome this year. And so I think that what we get is a huge dosage of James Cook, and I think we get mad Josh Allen. I think that because he's even said in some interviews today and yesterday, he was like, maybe I just need to stop thinking so much and just play football, right? And if he goes out and does that, I could see this being one of those vintage games where he's got a couple running and a couple passing, and it's just all over the, you know, all around good for him. So I hope that's what it is, because that'll make me feel so good as a fan. But what I would predict would happen would be a close game, but one that James Cook plays very well and Josh Allen plays clean. So I think that that's the smart play and a bounce back, because McDermott is kind of – so I think one of the best coaches in the history of the sport at games off of losses is Andy Reid. I don't have the stat in front of me right now. Sean McDermott comes from that tree. And so I think that – because it goes from him to Rivera to – McDermott, and so I think that he also has sort of inherited that. He's really good coming off of a loss, so I think that he will turn around and win this game.
Well, I had a huge smile on my face during that talk, because you have been 48 hours removed from being like, I'm just gonna have to take the Bucks, I guess.
I think it's gonna be vintage Bills fandom for me this year, which is a good thing and a bad thing, because I used to fight every play. I'd be like, "Yeah, okay, here we go." And like, I started this year as like a, "It's fine, we're gonna be okay." And like, I've been silent during a lot of Bills fans, but like at the end of that Pats game, it was vintage. I was up on my feet. I was freaking out, right?
But hey, I thought it was fun, except for you like looking to see angles. And like, it's a flat screen, but it doesn't change.
Nobody has to talk about that. We all have the irrational things we do when we watch our team, man. Go to the next game.
How about the Rams heading to take on the freshly rested Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah, this was a hard one for me. Actually, out of the three of them, this was the hardest one for me. I don't know if you feel that way when you gave them to me.
Probably appropriate. I just like to, we need to talk about games we don't talk about.
Yeah, well, I'm picking the Cowboys here.
Okay.
But I really want to pick the Rams, because I think Stafford's having a resurgent season coming off his injury. He looks great. Puka Nacua is awesome. I've got this awesome stat about Puka Nacua. It's on my phone and I picked up my paper. But Puka Nacua's placed amongst wide receivers in their first seven games of their career. He has the most receptions at 58. He has the second most receiving yards, only 2 yards behind Jamar Chase's start. And then he's got the second most PPR fantasy points, 0.4 under beneath Jamar Chase. So he's starting off incredibly well. The hilarious thing about this actually is for the first seven games of a career, the players with the most receptions are Puka Nacua, Jalen Waddle, and Eddie Royal. Incredible, with awesome. The Broncos? Drop.
Was that where?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, man. They're Denver Broncos and Jay Cutler. But yeah, so I think that with Puka and Cooper Kupp, they're both getting huge target shares. They're both great players. I love that Puka didn't just – I know that he had kind of a down game in Cooper's first game back, but then he was obviously dominant in this last game, unfortunately for some of my bets, because I needed Cooper Kupp to have 30 more yards to hit my three-leg parlay. But I like a lot of what they're doing. They found out – they've shown that actually like, – Kyren Williams might be a really good running back, but they showed that they could still have an effective run game with whoever's back there, because the scheme is great with Sean McVay, right? So Royce Freeman was good, and Daryl Henderson, who came back, was pretty good as well. It's just that I think Dallas, coming off a bye, coming off that big win against the Chargers on Monday Night Football, I think that they're going to get into a groove here and rip off a couple. And so I think this is one that they win.
Last but not least, we are talking about you slashed in the Cleveland Browns, but you like Stefanski taking on Geno and the Seahawks.
Yeah, this one was easier for me because I think the Seahawks are underrated at this point. I know they started off a little bit slow, and I think that people were a little bit leery of the, maybe they were a one-year wonder, but I think they've righted the ship, and the most impressive thing is that their defense is great. Like, they've got pieces all across the board, including their rookie cornerback, Devon Witherspoon, who I believe was your favorite corner in the draft, if I remember. He's been sensational. He's been a revelation. Not just the big flashy plays. I know we all remember that. Was it Monday night or Sunday night where he had the pick six against the Giants? It was awesome. It was exciting. But he is locking down guys too, and he's really good. You've got guys like Uchenna Nwosu.
Well, he's out.
Well, I'm just saying that they've got guys that keep showing up, right, with Uchenna Nwosu and Boye Mafe. You know, like they've got players all across the board, and I just really like this defense. And that's like, take that and put it to the side, because really the people know that their offense is fun with Geno and Kenneth Walker, and we just talked about Jake Bobo, who's crushing it. And then they've got pieces all over the place, and I really think that without good quarterback play, the Browns can't beat a team like this. And I could be wrong about that, but my head tells me that the Browns without good quarterback play cannot beat a good to very good team, and I categorize that as the Seahawks.
Sure. There we go. So you went with the home sweep, the Bills over the Bucks on Thursday, the Cowboys over the Rams, and the Seahawks over the Browns.
That was Pal's Picks, sponsored by the three NyQuil that I'm going to take tonight to fall asleep.
Wow.
I'm going to have to edit this episode so much. It's fine. All right. Do we want to do cold reads? Because I don't have any. I forgot about them.
You don't have any?
Yeah, I forgot about
them. Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I can make up one. But
oh, my gosh. Well, it puts a lot of pressure on me. All right. So we are a week away from one of my favorite times of the year, not only Halloween, but it is the NFL trade deadline. My question for you is, what team that we're not expecting to make a splash move will make a splash move?
So that's actually a really good question, because it happens every year. And we're always like, oh, really? That team? And I think that's – so I don't think Buffalo is actually going to make a huge move. And also I think some people are thinking that they will, because they have – I have this right here – 10 draft picks in 2024. So if there was a time to do it, it's when you have like a treasure chest of those picks. I don't see them doing that. A team that I – a surprise team – so I'm thinking of teams that it doesn't matter if they're good or bad. So I'm going to say the Carolina Panthers. So they've been talking a lot about wanting to get that number one receiver. And I think that the reason why they'll do that, they'll be buyers, is that they don't have their first pick. So it doesn't make sense for them to lose every game and be like, look, we have the number one overall pick, right? Because Chicago has it. So I think that they could be a team that makes a trade for one of these receivers at the deadline. Or do you not consider that very surprising?
No, I think it definitely would be more surprising for Carolina to be a buyer versus a seller.
It's just that they don't have, like I said, if you don't have your first round, this is so funny. Somebody in a fantasy league this weekend criticized me for picking up guys even though I'm tanking, or not tanking, rebuilding. And he's like, you're really hurting your max points four by doing all these moves. It's like, it doesn't matter. I don't have my pick. I'd rather just stockpile good players that I could trade for more picks, right? So for them, it's like, I don't have my first pick. We want to win games. Let's go get a guy for our young quarterback.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right, that is definitely an interesting one. All right, here we go. You kind of you've made this joke already, so I'm going to take it and run with it. You don't have Rossi's rankings this week, so I'm going with Lapping's List. Here we go.
Yes, so I love it. Lapping's List. Let's go.
This is not my personal opinion. This is just what I think is factually the list, okay? So I'm going with most sought-after Halloween candies.
Oh, I love this.
So,
let's
again,
go.
This is not my opinion. This is what I think you the think most popular are. Okay,
all right. That's an interesting way
like
to
my
do it.
Favorite candy bar is Hershey's Cookies and Cream, but that's right. Not number one anywhere.
A lot of people don't even know that's a candy bar.
All right. It's so a great candy bar, I think though. It's Reese's Cups, Kit Kats, Snickers, Skittles, and M&M's.
You know, that's a really hard list to argue against. At first I was going to say Kit Kat over Reese's. But,
really?
But no, it probably is Reese's over Kit Kat.
I think it's Kit Kat over Reese's in my personal list.
Oh, really?
Yes. I would take a Kit Kat over Reese's.
You're not a big peanut butter guy?
I love peanut butter. I love peanut butter so much. But I would take a Kit Kat over a Reese's.
I would definitely take Reese's over Kit Kat, but I do love Kit Kats. Did you have Twix on your list?
Twix did not make it in the top five.
I really like Twix.
I guess Twix as well.
I guess the question is, it's overwhelmingly chocolate candies over other candies, right?
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, Skittles was the only one that I even put on my top five.
Well, no, I know. I'm just saying that based off your list, that's what we think. We agree with that overall. I'm trying to think of other candies that aren't, right? Swedish Fish. People don't get those for, you know, Sour Patch Kids. It's not a Halloween candy.
They have, like, the little Frankenstein ones. Yeah,
that
I love
sounds
that.
Really great. I love Sour Patch Kids.
Me too. So, would you say Skittles would be the one that you take off the list that I have on there?
Yeah, only because I think that it is super Halloween's. Halloween is I was just saying, it's overwhelmingly chocolatey candies, right? So I think Skittles, if we're ranking like best candies, is definitely in that pantheon. But I think for Halloween, it's probably all chocolatey.
Okay. Okay. There we go. I like it.
So I would offer in that spot Twix or like Butterfinger. I don't love Butterfingers.
See, I do. Butterfinger would be in my top five.
Well, real quick, what's your lapping list top five that you candies you love?
Candies cookies I love. Cream. Cookies and cream. Yeah. Number one. Kit Kats. If we're just doing whatever we want, it's Sour Skittles. Butterfinger. And then it's probably, I might just do something real simple like a peanut and M&M. I'm not sure about that one, but I'm putting it down.
I did not expect Butterfinger to be on your list. I love Butterfinger. That's surprising to me.
Love it.
All right.
Well, it's good texture. That. Has a good crunch.
I mean, I knew. I obviously knew the Hershey's cookies and cream, right? But yeah, interesting. Okay. I like that segment. We should trade off and on. Every now and then you do Lapping's list. I do Rossi's rankings.
My last cold read, just to continue with the Halloween theme since we have a little bit of time. What do you think is going to be the most popular Halloween costume this year?
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I don't know if that got on my audio. Really? Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
Literally?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Why? What else would it be? What do you think?
I definitely think it's going to be Barbie and Ken.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Well, see, here's the thing. Yes, but do you know how many people are going to do Barbie and Ken as Travis and Taylor? You
mean Travis and Taylor as Barbie and
Ken? Yeah. Well, yeah, you know what I meant. But they're going to, or how many people are going to go as Travis and Taylor and put the caption, "Hiya, Barbie. Hi, Ken." Or some sort of Barbie quote. Well, because one of Taylor Swift's nicknames is Barbie. People call her that. So I'm telling you, it's gonna matter. But that's a good one. If the Swift Kelce thing hadn't happened recently, I would agree with you. But you're probably right. I think it's gonna be a battle between the two. We're gonna see a lot of it. I'm telling you, it's gonna see a lot.
I wouldn't have thought that. So I'm intrigued. So literally, that's just like a guy wearing a Travis Kelce jersey.
Yeah, like a guy will wear a Kelce jersey, that's kinda lame, and the girl will wear, and then she'll wear like red lipstick, or they'll do something like, you know. Cheeky, I don't know. There's got to be a way you could do it that's fun.
See, like, there are a lot more outfits associated with Taylor Swift, though, than being like, I'm Travis Kelce. I think that's lazy.
Yeah, so what's going to happen is it's going to be girls with boring boyfriends who don't want to dress up with them, and then the girls are going to get super into wearing an era of Taylor Swift, and it's going to be amazing, and the boys are going to be like, I'll just put on this jersey. Because they're boring. Anyway, that was fun. I like that. Let's do some Fantasy Corner.
Fantasy Corner.
Yeah. I like that it's just like whatever.
We don't know what those. We're doing.
We're doing like freeform jazz when we do Fantasy Corner.
Freeform.
Another tough loss, but I still like our team.
I do like our team. So we made a trade. We had a trade offered to us on Friday night. It was for, what was it for?
We made some nice moves Saturday morning over text while we were just both laying in bed. We were like, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?
I was actually not in bed.
Oh, I was in bed. Yeah, for sure.
So we had a trade offer on Friday night. It was Puka Nacua and Quentin Johnson for Amon-Ra St. Brown. You texted me. I was already in bed. You're like, then we probably say no to that, right? So when I got that text, I was really excited to look at what it was. And I agree, that was not the time to make the move. But I thought it was interesting that the reason, I mean, obviously we didn't want to move off of the Sun God, but you were a little bit worried about Puka's involvement. And so we had a talk and walked back from that. So I was like, what I do want to do, because I feel like this player might be feeling a similar way of being like, oh man, we got to move him now. It's not going to be higher. I was like, what if we counter with Raheem Mostert and Gabe Davis for Puka? That was accepted. So now we have Puka Nacua on our team. I feel really excited about that prospect.
Yeah, and Gabe Davis has been one of my favorite Buffalo Bills since he's been on the team. So, you know, in that aspect, it's like, oh man, one of my favorite guys is gone. But he's so hard to rely on. Like, I know that he is a target of the red zone, so often it'll be touchdowns or not touchdowns. But genuinely, I think it's better to move off from him and get a more reliable guy, especially after we just saw what we saw from him with Cooper Kupp fully back in the offense. So I think it's a great move. And then what we did, because we had an extra roster spot, was we picked up Khalil Herbert, threw him on our one IR spot, right? And then we were able to pick up, I think we picked up Chuba Hubbard because we wanted some more running back depth, right? And so
it's a possibility that he overtakes Miles Sanders.
Yeah, because he's been playing very well, and so we'll kind of monitor that. And he's also, you always want to have a guy on your bench that you're okay. Like, if there's a big ad, to be like, I'm okay dropping that. So he would be a guy for us, sure. Right? And then we were able to also get the Steelers defense back.
So right now, it's talking specifically about our team, and it's funny, he had an awful game, and you're like, well, let's just get a new kicker. Well, now we have to, because Brett Maher was cut from the LA Rams, so we do need to get another kicker so we can pretty safely move off of him. I think he may be picked up by another team that is always looking to, because I still think he's a good kicker. I know he went through the things with Dallas last year in the playoff game and then had this struggle, but I think overall, I mean, he was having a really strong year, right? So we'll have to see, but LA moves off of him, so we will also have to do that. Nobody wants to talk about kickers on the air, so we won't do that without that.
Although I'm just saying, I saw a point system for punters, and I really want that to be in our fantasy teams next year.
Be pretty fun.
It looked it was really fun, man.
We'll talk about that. The one thing that I do want to talk about, well, I guess there's two, is do we finally want to – we drafted him. We waited for him. Do we finally want to put Taylor into our starting lineup?
The hard thing for our lineup is that we've got so many good players, right? Because we've got – it's Bijan and Javonte Williams as our starting two running backs. And if Bijan's healthy, there's no way we'd take him out of our lineup, right? Sure. So then it's a conversation between Javonte and Taylor. And if we want to put Taylor there, then it's like, do we flex Javonte or do we flex who we already are flexing?
One of our wide receivers.
Which is one of our receivers because we have a lot of good ones, right? And so that's the tough conversation for me. Where you land?
I think this week I am leaning a little bit more towards Taylor than I am Javonte Williams. That's just the way that I'm going. I like having our four wide receivers in there. You can talk me off of – you could talk me into putting Puka in over Chris Olave and putting him on the bench if you wanted to.
So that was another debate, too, that I was looking at, because what I do on Tuesday mornings before I do waivers is I set a preliminary lineup, and I look at what does my lineup look like, what looks weaker, what looks stronger, how does my bench look after I adjust after the bye weeks that we just had. And I looked at that one on our roster for a long time this morning. I was like, ooh, do we make the tough decision of Puka over Olave? I don't know. I think it's probably a toss-up. I think they probably both are okay.
So here's my thing right now. Well, in terms of matchup, I think Chris Olave has the better matchup. We're obviously talking different positions, right? But I think Olave will be able to do a little bit more than Javonte going up against the tough Kansas City defense that I just talked about. They might get down and be like, we have to throw the ball a little bit more. This is a team that just they met a few weeks ago, right? And Javonte only had 7 points. So, you know, Chris Olave catches 4 for 30, and he already has more than that. So right now what I recommend, or what my opinion is Chris Olave just got into some legal trouble today. We'll have to see. I don't think it will result in a missed game or whatnot. So right now I think we move him down to the slot to have the availability to put Javonte in there to have that wiggle room. I know we're not talking about times or anything, so it's not like that. But I think that buys us the time. I do think we invested the pick in him. It's time to get Taylor in the starting lineup. And then my thing, the biggest question for me right now is, I know he's not playing super great, but do we go with Jordan Love in a quote-unquote better matchup than Geno against the number two Cleveland defense?
Yeah, so that's also a good debate as my cat tries to knock everything off of my recording table. I actually like that. I know that Love has struggled, but isn't he still like the 12th quarterback?
He is the quarterback 12, even with the bye.
He throws touchdowns and he gets rushing yardage, right? So for fantasy, it's still very good. I do like that. I do actually like that one. I'm feel stronger about that one, the Puka thing. But I also am, after the discussion, I do agree Puka over Olave right now.
All right. Well, that actually wasn't even what I thought we were just discussing. I would also take Puka over Olave. I thought we were talking Williams over Olave. But
because we have, because it ends up being Puka over Olave in the flex, right? Because we move Taylor into the running back position, which puts Javonte into the flex position.
I technically put Olave into the flex, but we can iron.
Okay,
all
yeah,
this
we
out
can
later.
Talk about that later.
Sure. All right, so. Players to pick up or think about if you're talking fantasy in general.
There's not really anybody this week that sticks out to me. I kind of scoped over the waiver wires. I mean, the obvious one to me is also my fantasy player of the week, and it's Dalton Kincaid, the rookie tight end for Buffalo.
Yeah.
He might be available in some leagues. He probably isn't in deeper leagues. People probably already have him, but if they don't, I would totally go for it.
Sure.
Because he was already a clear favorite for Allen, even with Knox still in the game last week. I think he had 8 for 75. Every time he catches it, a good play happens. I was screaming it at the screen all day on Sunday, like, hey, just every time you throw it to him, something good happens. Just throw it to him. And so I think that he will become a bigger and bigger target for them as the year goes by. And with Knox being out for a couple weeks, he's going to be the number one tight end. So that would be a guy that I would look at. But there's not a lot of other guys that stick out to me, because we've been burned a couple weeks in a row here with DeMarcado for the Cardinals was a huge pickup. Didn't matter.
And then suddenly did.
Zach Evans, huge pickup. Didn't have a single snap, right? So we keep getting burned by this. So there's nobody that I look at and say, this is going to be different.
Sure. I'm going to go with a little bit of a deep dive, maybe if you didn't watch last week the way that we did, but a player that I'm looking at who has a favorable schedule moving forward that I really like is DeMario Pop Douglas of the New England Patriots. So outside of week, he had his second most targets last week. He also had a run for 20 yards. I think New England, Bill O'Brien's like, hey, like, we got something here. Like I said, favorable schedule coming up in terms of wide receiver. So if you can grab him, if you need a wide receiver, somebody to look at. Also, if it's not going to happen in dynasties, but if you're in a redraft and you're looking for a quarterback, if Kyler Murray was either not drafted because of the injury or he was dropped because somebody got desperate, he's getting ready to come back. And with Arizona, they've looked very, very, upper than what we thought they would be. It could be a favorable situation. Might not come back and be super hot right away,
yeah, but
could
not,
be if you need.
Yeah, but they're not. The Cardinals are not the team we thought they would be at this point. We thought they would be sellers, and we thought that they would be, you know, I mean, they are rebuilding, but we thought they'd be like terrible, winless, and be like, you know what, just keep sitting, Kyler. But they're a tough team to beat, and they keep playing these close games against teams and beating some that we didn't think that they would, right? So that's absolutely one. I have him stashed in 3 or 4 leagues on my reserve spot waiting for him to come back. So yes, absolutely a great one.
If he's out there,
If he's out there, he's got to be on a roster and he's got to be played for sure.
Yeah, so you said your fantasy player, you're going with player of the week is the rookie tight end.
Yeah, I think that Allen likes to throw to the tight end, which is why the emergence of Dawson Knox happened in the first place. And I think Kincaid showed last week, every time he went to him, something good happened. So I think that they're going to keep targeting him because they need another guy to step up. They've got Davis for big plays and red zone. He's not normally a consistent, you know, every down sort of receiver who just consistently catches. He's got Diggs as his go-to guy. I think he needs one more guy that needs that, like, hot route, throw it to him for a couple yards, grab the first down on third down. And I think that Kincaid can be that. I think that's why we got him in the first place. And so now that he slots into the number one undisputed spot at tight end, I think that he excels this week.
Sure. Yeah, I like it a lot. I wish he was available in this league for us, respectively. I'm going to go with a player that I don't think is the number one wide receiver, the wide receiver one, you know, of the Jamar Chases, that realm. But in terms of just a solid piece, I'm going with a wide receiver, a rookie that I really like, and it's Rashee Rice. Had one of his best games, if not his best game, last week against the Chargers, another divisional opponent. They're going to Mile High. He's starting to really show that trust outside of Travis Kelce. Mahomes is to Rice. I feel like this could be the breakout game for him.
Yeah, and I don't want to say you gave up on Sky Moore, but you've been a Rice guy from the start. You really like this player coming out of the draft, and every week
I was just hoping it was going to be both.
But yes, right. You thought, of course, right? But I was always more the Sky Moore guy, and now it's kind of hard to make that debate with how great Rice is playing. So I think that's a good one. He could be available in some of your leagues, and some leagues that aren't as deep as others, Rashee Rice could still be available, so it's worth checking it out.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome.
That was Fantasy Corner,
sponsored by Greenbrier Historical Society, where Josh and I are playing historical figures in a graveyard this week. Although if I'm sick tomorrow night, man, that's gonna be tough, but I'm gonna power through.
Hot dang, man.
Do you think our boss will be mad at us if I called off work because I felt bad but still showed up to the event?
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
But like, what if
when
like,
he's like,
I want to make sure
supposedly
I
supposedly coming tomorrow?
Yeah, it might be. Anyway. yeah, let's do our friend's fortune, man. I went first last time, so you go first this time.
All right, get the heck out of here,
and
then.
Bye.
Look like you. All right. It's been a few too long minutes since we've talked about Halloween. So I'm going to go with a player that wears a costume. He wears a king costume. It's Derrick Henry. King Henry. I say he's been slowed down. You know, they're talking about trading him. I think he's going to get his second 100-yard game this week against a very tough Atlanta front as he's trying to be like, hey, team, somebody out there, trade for me. Derrick Henry, second 100-yard game this week against the Atlanta Falcons, who have not given up a single 100-yard rusher this year. Well, yeah, we're just waiting for you.
I'm going to keep your singing in the episode because that's fun.
All right. I am out of here.
I don't know what you were singing, though. I can't. Scat to get to get to Senior Gano. Master Gano. All right, guys. So we have all 32 teams playing this week as there are no people on bye this week, which is weird. We do have one more week of that before the end of the season. I think it's Thanksgiving week, right? But that's because game's on Thursday. Mine's simple. Every team playing, I think every single team scores at least one touchdown this week. Now, you think that might be easy. It's not. It rarely happens in the NFL. There are plenty of teams who only do field goals and some shutouts, but I think every single team in the NFL scores at least one touchdown this week. That's what they really come to simultaneous catch for.
Hope you didn't see my wrench forking on my iPad.
Anyway, I'm now back in the lead of the pick'em pool, so good job, everybody.
Great job.
And my tidbit of the week, because I got through most of them during all the other segments, the 49ers are now 0-36 under Kyle Shanahan when they're trailing by 8 or more points in the fourth quarter in the regular season and the playoffs.
Wow.
They have now lost 37 straight in all in that exact same scenario. Only the Panthers have a longer streak with 45 straight games of losing in that scenario. Kyle Shanahan's a great coach, but we have not seen him make late adjustments to win games when you lose 36 in a row that way.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I have a tidbit this week.
Yeah, it's love
rare,
it.
Rare tidbit from Josh. This is according to Next Gen Stats. So since week 5, maybe it's the Taylor effect, I don't know, but Mahomes, when targeting Travis Kelce, they have 28 straight completions. There is a 0.03% or 1 in 3,000 odds that that happens, 28 out of 28 when the ball goes into his area. That's not a drop. That's not a defender batting it down. That's 1 in 3,000 odds.
This is when I wish we had video because my am blown away. That's awesome.
I wish I could have, like I said, that's Next Gen Stats. Sure, I didn't find that out, but that's
awesome.
I saw that. I was like, what?
I love that. Good for Taylor and good for Travis. I love them. They're so cute. Thanks for listening to the show, guys. If you've got your Halloween festivities this weekend, make sure you stay safe. I don't know where you are, but where we are, it's going to be a warmer Halloween than normal because the next couple of this whole week looks like it's going to be in the high 60s, low 70s, which I hate because it's disgusting and my allergies don't know how to handle it when it jumps cold, hot all the time. But, you know, you want to tell the people what you're doing for Halloween this year?
I don't know what I'm doing.
I meant like what you guys would like to do as your costume.
Oh, we think we're doing a Walter White, Jesse Pinkman thing.
I think that's a lot of fun. And I'm going to go as Saul Goodman. No, it makes more sense for me to be Mike or
you could be Gus. Do a little tan, self-tanner.
Yeah, that'll go over well. All right, thanks for listening to the show, guys. As always, make sure you follow us. Simultaneous Catch on Instagram. And enjoy the Monster Mash.